Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time.
This is going to be cool.
Climb aboard for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
A day that will live in sports radio infamy.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
We're talking the big deal, the real deal.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
I am not only drinking the Kool-Aid, I'm the manufacturer.
I am losing my mind.
Tannen, it might be semi-circle time.
Hi, I'm Steve, and, well, I brought a list.
And now, a guy with tons and tons of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Yeah, to go, what the hell are we doing?
It's Steve Tannen.
Well, hello there. Welcome to a Monday. Thanks for tuning in. You know, I've become the occasional watcher, but I forgot what I was watching on NBC over the weekend. Stunning. It was probably sports. You know what? The Sunday Nighters NBC, right? Yeah. All right. And the promo came on for Saturday Night Live this week. Eddie Murphy as the host. Oh, I ain't missing that one. I'm wondering, you know, obviously he'll do his monologue. Rumor has it he wants to get back on the road and do another stand-up tour. Delirious was an A+. Raw, B. Maybe some moments of a B+. And I wonder if we're going to get the greatest hits. Well, the problem with some of the greatest hits on Saturday Night Live, you know, when it was like 82, 83, is the world targets the younger demo and how many people are going to get buckwheat being shot.
Isn't SNL a lot older audience, though? Because when I think people who watch SNL...
is it older or is it what they're targeting?
I think,
first of all, TV is probably, network TV is just an older demo right now.
I was never like a stay up late to watch SNL like person. If I would watch it, I would like hear who.
By the time you were 18, 19 and it's in the 2000s.
Even before.
You didn't have to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like I would DVR it, but I would only do it if like one of the people that like an artist that I knew or an actor that I thought would be good would be on or Will Ferrell was coming back or Tina Fey was hosting. It's like, okay, I'll set my TiVo. I'll watch that in the morning when, you know, I'm awake. Because that's a much better time to have a comedy TV show on for me. It's like not in the middle of the night when I'm asleep.
Yeah, to be perfectly honest, how many like people of age are up that late watching TV? I mean, it used to be a thing. I mean, it went from "Hey, have you?" to wherever you were, everybody stopped. That was the first time I was ever, it was 78, 79, where we were out at a bar, you know, music was playing, and there was a band, and we were shooting pool, and all of a sudden everybody was like, all right. And there were like, they brought out TVs and put on Saturday Night Live. I think it's the first time ever at a bar I saw anything besides sports or like a bulletin, like was, you know, a Reagan got shot or something like that. And they rolled out to this place that was called the Waterfront. And it turned out every Saturday at 11:30, they would put on Saturday Night Live. But, you know, you had the Not Ready for Primetime Players. You had, you know, back then when Bill Murray was new to Saturday Night Live. And, you know, Belushi and Lorraine Newman and Gilda and Jane Curtin. And then by the time Eddie Murphy came along, it was like, yeah, you got to check this dude out. He is just all. And he was a baby when he started.
But that was like, you know, back in the day of, you know, yesterday.
You had no choice. If you didn't see it live, you weren't seeing it.
It was out of necessity that like, okay, I have to stay up to watch this or I'm up, I might as well watch it thing. Like with me, it's whatever. Like you can do your skits. Like I might watch Weekend Update or if I'm not feeling a skit after a couple minutes, I'll just boop, 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 and I'll just, you know, I'll get, I think that was the actual sound TiVo made. I'll get to the next segment. I'll skip through the musical artist if I don't know who they are, and more often than not I didn't. It's just whatever. But like I don't know. I don't think SNL, I think they try to skew, they want the younger audience, but their audience is much older.
I would say that they probably draw the younger audience contingent on the music act.
Right.
Because those who they get to host the show, you know, I don't know if it's like, unless it's like Katy Perry or somebody like that, you know, Eddie Murphy isn't going to draw the 18 to 34 crowd unless they grew up watching, you know, Shrek.
I can't even remember the last SNL skit that was put out that was like, this is must watch. You have to see this. Because like
Weekend Update was the only thing that I
right,
was always...
Right, like it was... I can't remember anything. Like it was Weekend Update. There was Adam Sandler when he was doing his Lonely Island like musical parody songs. Like those were big hits that everybody had to see. You had, you know, the occasional like, oh, they brought back Celebrity Jeopardy because Will Ferrell was on again. Like they do that every once in a while.
Right,
but, like,
right.
I can't remember the last time it was like I was on Facebook or somebody was retweeting something from SNL that was even a cold open that was like, you have to see this. I can't remember.
Yeah, some of the political stuff in recent years has been pretty funny. But I just like, Belushi ain't coming back. Neither is Gilda. And, you know, Bill Murray, I don't think would ever come back. I think he left on awful terms with Lorne Michaels. But Eddie Murphy coming back? Oh, yeah. And by the way, I am going to old school it. I am going to be watching it.
No.
Yes, I am not. To me, if you're from my generation, I'm not allowing you to watch it unless you watch it live.
You're going to get to the second commercial break that's 19 minutes long, and you're going to either be like, I can't do this, I'm recording it, or you're just going to fall asleep.
Nah, remember, I'm a night owl. You don't want to challenge me to stay up late like an idiot, because I'll do it. Now I'll do it just for spite.
I dare you. Ruin your weekend without sleeping, Steve. I dare you.
Well, think about it. It ends at 1. How many times have we walked out of Autzen at 1? yeah, it's hard to believe when you think about it. It gave him his start, but Chevy Chase was on Saturday Night Live for a year. He left, he was going to be a big movie star, and for a while, that really didn't work out. I don't think without the Vacation series, I mean, he might have actually morphed into Chevy who? Oh, was he that guy who was kind of funny in Caddyshack? Remember? Yeah, that was him. Man, I haven't seen him for a while. But now he's, you know, had the rebound. What is he appears in? A Community?
Oh, yeah. Community came out in like 2009. And I think it ran through 2000.
Did you ever watch it?
I did.
I watched a couple episodes. Pretty good.
It is a really good show. It got very meta, and it got very a lot of like '80s, '90s references and stuff like that, and movie reference. And then they did specials, and it was a lot of fun. That's a show where like I've seen every episode one time, like as they came out, and I've never like been able to figure out where it is. I think it's on Hulu, but I don't have Hulu, and I don't really want to, you know, pay to get Hulu kind of thing. But I think it was. I think it's on Hulu, but I haven't seen it a second time, and I think I would really enjoy watching it again. Because it's been so long since I've seen the episodes, I don't remember what happened.
By the way, a couple people have said the one thing they like about SNL now is if they're up at 11:30, they've usually had a few drinks. And somebody insinuated perhaps something else. But, yeah. 284.
Cups of coffee to stay up late to watch SNL.
Somebody says if you're really going to watch it, kind of old school, you have to make it, you have to get a TV where you can't use your remote. You have to actually get up and change the channel, which is funny because one of the great kind of jokes that passes, it's like, you kids have no idea what it was like to have to get up and trek 9 feet across a shag rug to change the channel on the television. Talk about hardship. Who remembers the cable boxes where you had to press a button? You'd have like, it would only go up to
A and B?
Yeah.
Yeah, my grandma had those.
There you go. You just explained it in a nutshell.
My grandma had those on like the tiniest like 13-inch square TV that was twice as deep as it was wide.
Oh man.
And it was just a big old monster, and my grandma wanted to watch Spanish telenovelas, and she's like, "Look, I've got the VCR to set up this channel at this time. All you have to do when you're done watching is switch it back from B to A, because all the channels I like to watch, like Nickelodeon and Disney and ESPN, those were all on the B side of the box. So I had to get up and I had to get funk, and you know, there was like a little static pop and like the button like really like clicked down when it clicked, and it was back to A, and then the telenovelas would record. Grandma was happy.
One of the things I actually like that makes the round on social media is when somebody says, "I'm this old." And then you'll see like a TV antenna, or you'll see, maybe for you it would be like a big old, your first big computer or something like that. I mean, you talk about, you know, the screen you have now is like 3/4 inch wide. The old big, huge ones that just used to sit there. I saw one a couple weeks back where they showed a test pattern on TV, which to you is like, what are you talking about?
What? What is a test?
Okay, so say it's the mid-70s, and you're staying up with your buddies, and you're watching whatever's on TV. You watch Johnny Carson. It's over now at 1. And then you switched over. CBS would do a movie, The Late Show. Then they would do The Late Late Show. So now it's 4:30, and CBS local, even in New York, would be like, "Yeah, we're signing off until 7 o'clock. And they would play the Star Spangled Banner. And
Wait, is that what that reference is? That happens in like Toy Story 2. The guy runs the chicken farm is asleep on his couch, and the national anthem is playing on TV. And I think that's what they're talking about. Wow.
I just
connected those dots.
When they would sign off, and if you fell asleep, you would wake up, and there would just be like a picture of Iwo Jima or something. Or maybe it was just a test pattern, and it would just be, boo! And the tradition was, you know, the husband or whoever was full asleep, just turn it down, put the blanket on whoever was still asleep. And that would be it now, of course. I don't think
it's paid program. That's what's on in the middle of the night.
Right. From, you know, 4:30 to 6 when Good Morning Fill in the Blank is on, you know, that's when you get the local guy trying to sell you something.
Oh, yeah. Or it's some pre-recorded TV show.
Right. It's something religious or
the Magic Bullet or something like
right,
that.
Right. It's absolutely something like that. But, yeah. The days of the test pattern, that it's like, I'm that old where I can remember that. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Here's the offensive coordinator at USC, as they've just announced, he is staying. You know, originally, Helton hired Cliff Kingsbury. And then he got the Arizona Cardinal job. So they got Graham Harrell, who implemented his version of the air raid. And, you know, that's good news for Southern Cal, because that's a young, talented, really deep skill set offense USC is going to run out there. And remember, Utah needed to win this year, because from Moss to Huntley, to I think 3 of their offensive linemen and a nigh on it. I mean, they had some upperclassmen that are going to be going bye-bye. So he gets 3-year deal, $1.2 million a season to be an offensive coordinator in college. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Dave. Dave, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good afternoon, Steve. I haven't talked to you for a long time. I remember my first color TV, and I can tell you how much I paid for it, and I know right where I bought it.
Okay.
I bought the color TV so I could watch Monday Night Football in color. But you had to sit right in front of the TV. You couldn't be left or right.
Oh, that's right. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, the depth perception was different.
Yes. Before that, we had a 19-inch black and white, and it had the color screen that went over it you put on there. And again, you had to be right smack in front of it in order for it to work.
That's funny. And by the way, you just dated us. So thanks, Dave.
Yeah, I just remember that.
No, that's okay, a good one. Steve. All right, take it easy. Somebody just texted, I would be the CD AOL sent you every 3 weeks with 100 free hours to join America Online.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. I think my grandma.
Did anybody ever use that?
Oh, my grandma does. My grandma still uses AOL.
Stop.
Oh, she
I didn't
does.
Even know that was a thing.
Oh, she
does
loves...
she have a MySpace account?
No, she doesn't. But she loves America Online because she was able to use AOL's browser thing to create a bunch of email lists for her and her girlfriends, and she's in prayer groups, and like she needs all of these lists and things that all go together. And I'm like, Grandma, this is Google Chrome. It's so much better. Like, even if you wanted to do here's Internet Explorer, which you shouldn't use that. It's not very good. Here's Google Chrome. Can you use this? She'd still, nope, I can't do it. I'd have to type in everybody's name, and I don't remember everybody's name, and I'm going to use my AOL, my lists and things, because it's all on there. And they've replaced the computer 15 times, and I think it's because the computer is still using AOL. But yeah, my grandma is the last person with it using regularly her AOL email address.
That is unbelievable. Yeah. I'm not saying this for effect. I honestly didn't think it existed anymore.
It's still a thing.
Wow.
You're actually speechless.
I am baffled by that. All right. AOL.
AOL. I remember those CDs, too. They'd come in the little, inside of an
envelope.
And by
the way, terrible packaging.
The little running man on them behind in front of the triangle. The whole logo didn't make any sense. It's crazy. So fun, though.
You've got mail. All right. 284-8571.
The annoying dial tone and everything. Oh, man.
Yeah, if you watch any of the, I think the History Channel and CNN did really good job on the 90s, the 80s, the 2000s, and they came out of a commercial once with the 90s, and all you heard was, the dial-up, and there's no one who was alive then for the rest of their lives who, if you like music, you can name that tune in three notes. You need one half a second of one sound, and you know exactly what the hell you're hearing.
Yep.
All right, so we got that going for us, which is nice. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. It is the Monday edition of the big program. By the way, that itself would be kind of an I'm this old when you remember your first color TV. Ours was, so we moved into our house in July of 1968. The New York Jets rolled to the Super Bowl that year. And we were invited to my aunt and uncle's because we still had just the black and white TV. After that, right around probably Valentine's Day, we had a truck pull up. I don't even know if UPS existed then. Some delivery, and we got this RCA Victor 27-inch. It took 17 guys to carry it in. It was that heavy and that big. If you could have taken that thing over an enemy country and just dropped it on them, you'd have won two wars. I remember when it finally, I brought that out here with me in 1990. Because it was a free color TV.
Did you rent an 18-wheeler to stick it on?
Well, I had a whole National Van Lines brought a lot of our furniture and stuff from Philly. And so in about 95, it finally crapped out. And I remember the kids were like, we could take it to the dump and just throw it in there. And we each got a rock, made sure it landed on his back, and threw it right through the screen. It was hysterical. By the way, you want to talk about loud. All right. I would say that was the summer of 95. That thing lasted, so, 27 years. And better yet, I don't have to pay for it.
My parents still have a very tiny 12 or 13-inch TV in their garage, and I think they haven't gotten rid of it because it still has a VCR player, and I think they still have a bunch of VCR tapes.
A 13-inch screen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I had one of those.
A little bubble with the built-in VCR player on it or whatever, and I think they kept it, they still have it, because they can play some like VCR tapes, and I'm not sure if they have like wedding footage or if they have tapes that they just like, hey, what's on this thing? This is labeled this. What's that? I think that's why they kept it.
That makes sense. Yeah, I used to have one of those in the bedroom. Just at a certain point, it was like, especially when you had kids, if you had to give way to the main TV, if they had... If they had people over and you still wanted to rent a video, you had to suffer through the 13-inch screen. Of course, now it'd be like, you know, our third TV is a 32-incher, and it's like, oh my God, I have to work out and watch it on this. I'm like a peasant. 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. One call before break. Let's bring in Sylvia. Sylvia, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
All right.
So, two things. One, I still have an AOL mail account.
Okay, that's two.
And that does make me old. But the other thing is that I remember when our family got our first color TV, and my dad worked for the local electric company, and they had a small appliance store, and he borrowed the color TV so that we could watch the moon landing.
Wow. So that and goes July of 1969.
Yeah, and he was going to take it back on Monday morning and liked it so much that we kept it and he made payments on it.
That's great. But so what you're telling me, Sylvia, is it took a moon landing for your family to get a color TV.
And for us to be allowed to have the TV in the house. My mom had relegated the TV to the garage, which was detached, because we got caught watching it too often in the summertime, and she felt we should be outside playing.
All right. Well, at least you benefited it. And I assume you still have a color TV, right?
Yes.
Great story, Sylvia. Thanks so much. Have a good one. Which, by the way... we also drove, even though we had a color TV, that July 20th, I think, was the moon landing, to my aunt and uncle, because they had, well, I guess we just all wanted to be together. At the time, I don't think you could properly put it in context for an eight-year-old. It's like, wait a minute, they're going to land something there. All right, yeah, I'm in. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. I will take a break, come back, have an update. Remember, coming up at 4:45, we're going to talk some Duck hoops with number 20 herself. Sabrina Ionescu will join us. So we got that going for us, which is nice. Coming up.
Tannenism.
95.3, The Score.
Sports Talk with Steve Tannen is brought to you by Garrity RV Supercenters. Name one of America's top five RV dealers. They don't just sell fun, they guarantee it. See over 700 options for every budget at Garrity.com.
Inbound, thrown to the backcourt by Simpson. He's going to have to bring it up. Six to go. Screen coming. Ducks switch it. Richardson stays with him. Simpson to the basket. Misses it. Tip up in the air. No good. Oregon wins. The Ducks in overtime knock off the Michigan Wolverines here in Ann Arbor.
Joey Mack on the final call. Man, It's amazing when you watch a game with a rooting interest. It's 1 point, but the difference between being up one or being up two, just like, wow, worst that could happen is overtime. Wow, they could actually, after all this, lose. And, you know, Pritch, who played so well and, you know, obviously is off to a tremendous start, shouldering such a huge burden as they try to integrate all these new faces in. I mean, it's pretty much he, Okoro, and Will Richardson and everybody else. Oregon's free throw shooting, I mean, PP's at 88, 89%. He went 1 of 3, and that was a big one he missed. That's really out of character, but their defense has been really good. Joey Mack and Steve Mims, both, within about a week of each other, prior to the start of the season, when they were each asked for just a general observation from what they had seen in practice, think defense could be pretty good. And now they bring the big fella, Dante, back, plus when Justin returns from injury. I mean, that's for a team that went on a road and beat the then number 5, now number 13 team in the country, to add some beef up front and some rebounding and rim protection. It's huge, especially, I mean, they're entering conference play and the stretch run in, well, top 10. Yeah, I should be a college basketball analyst. That's a good spot to be in, Steve. Wow. Hashtag analysis. All right, let's get to the Oregon fuel ejection hotline before I give you some more information that you could never get anywhere else. Let's bring in Tobiah. Tobiah, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. How you doing?
Yeah, great. How you doing, Steve?
All right, what's up?
Hey, did you happen to catch any of the Long Beach game, the women versus Long Beach, this weekend on Saturday?
I listened to it.
So the game was on, what was it? It was a live feed via Beach Vision, I think they called it, which was their top-notch coverage out of Long Beach College.
Right.
And so it was hilariously frustrating, but almost every time, I don't want to say every time, but almost every time Long Beach would score, they would show a replay, and not just a 2-second replay, but they would show a replay that lasted almost 15 seconds.
Really?
Meanwhile, Oregon's on the other end of the court doing their thing. Half the time, they would cut back, and Long Beach has already got the ball again. So who knows if Oregon scored or what would happen, but it must have happened 15 or 20 times during the game. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Well, that's what you get when you're getting the university feed and not a network feed and, you know, not a commercial product that has advertisers. It's really it's really what you would call that school-centric. So, yeah, you shouldn't have been looking for the CBS March Madness coverage there.
I certainly wasn't. I thought we might get a little bit better than that. That was after the first half of what I almost thought was intentional at first, but the two guys announcing the game, they must have mispronounced 80% of Oregon's players' names, and not just by a little, but like horribly bad. It was kind of a comical thing to watch.
You want to know the truth? I was listening on the radio while I was watching. I forgot what the heck what I had on, but either way, I didn't realize it was even available on. Would you watch it on a device?
Yeah, just watch it on the computer, the Oregon women's page, there was a link.
Well, like a knucklehead, I looked at the GoDucks.com, saw radio, no TV, and didn't even pursue it. So I wish you'd have called me on Friday.
My bad, next time.
All right.
Hey, one more
yeah, go ahead.
One for you. You guys were talking about AOL earlier. Do you guys remember Eugene Freenet, EFN?
When was that? I mean...
Oh, God. 20 years ago, maybe? I don't even know how long the internet's been around. It was a long time.
That does not ring a bell, but I guarantee you just rung a bell with somebody. I bet you anything.
You had to actually go to a building here in town and sign up physically to get an EFN email address.
Wow. Yeah, something tells me that's going to end up being more than 20 years ago.
It might have been. My father still has that email address.
Oh, God, nice. I think we got a winner, Tobiah. Nice.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take it easy. So right now we've got an EFN email subscriber. We've got Sylvia and Nick's grandmother has an AOL email. I had an AOL account, but since deleted, and I think it was something like Yankees44@AOL.com. You know, back then, still paying homage to Reggie Jackson as a Yankee. So, yeah, you got that going for you, which is nice. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. The interesting tidbit from the Oregon men beating Michigan. So that was the highest ranked team that Oregon had ever beaten on the road. Oh, no. My bad. It's the highest ranked team Oregon had ever beaten in a non-conference regular season game. I mean, Michigan was 5 at the time. You knew they were going to drop because they had lost that Champaign to the Illini. And you had to go back to January 4th, 1975. It's coming up, obviously, on the 45th anniversary. So they beat number 10 Providence at Mack Court, a Friar team coached by Dave Gavitt. Now, if you know that name, he's a legend. He would go on and be instrumental in forming the Big East and become its first commissioner in 1979. On that team were the Kamikaze Kids of Ronnie Lee, Greg Ballard, Coach Kent, Stu Jackson. And, yeah, somebody tried to hit me with the non-conference schedule was much more interesting in the 70s. And I went back and I was like, that's impossible. First of all, they played like 12 non-conference games during the era of the Kamikaze Kids from 1974, 5, 6, and 7. And it's like, believe me, none of them were that interesting. That period has teased the minds of fans that a lot more, I mean, the conference games, and if the if March Madness had been expanded back then, Oregon probably would have made the big dance. But, you know, back in those days, there was a period where just the conference champ, UCLA, was the only one that got in like every year. I mean, for those who, you know, get involved in nostalgia, you know, the bottom line is the Kamikaze Kids won some unbelievable games. They broke the UCLA streak. They had some magical moments, but they never even got to play in the tournament. I think they may have made it to New York for the finals or the Final Four of the NIT one year under Dick Hart. All right. We need to take a quick phone call before we get to a break so we could get ready to chat up Sabrina. Let's get to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Bring in Steven. Steven, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hi, Steve Tannen. Steven Barone, Team USA Fan Council. I want to say, what is your predictions on the Oregon Ducks women's basketball team? I want to say congratulations on Sabrina and her teammates doing an awesome job. I've been watching them on Facebook, and I'm stuck and still in Arizona, Keeneland, and it's really windy, actually, in the 40s right now.
All right. Appreciate the call, Steven. Do I have to make a prediction on, like, Final Four national championship right now? I'm going to need to go to Wednesday here, Nick. I need more information. I've got to see Oregon State. I've got to see Stanford. I've got to see how good UCLA is.
Ted, my boy, it's going to be legend. Wait for it.
And by the way, very quietly, has anybody noticed who is unbeaten at number two in the country? UConn. Because of that embarrassing preseason ranking they had to suffer through for 3 weeks, being 7th. South Carolina looks good. Louisville beat Oregon. Baylor is good again. Texas A&M, Maryland. So, I'll put it to you this way. I feel real comfortable that Oregon's going to get in and probably host two games and be in the Sweet 16. Then it depends on the matchup. Real quick, your friends at 95.3 The Score say, don't pay full price. Pay half. Come on. We got you covered. Go to 953thescore.com, click on the sweet deals link, save half price on local area businesses. And starting tomorrow, we've got another sweet deal. Tomorrow is Track Town Pizza. Details available at the sweet deal link on 953thescore.com. So yeah, definitely check out sweet deals today. Sweet deals, KJZ, 953thescore. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. Normally on a Monday, we wrap up the 4 o'clock hour with It's Lit, but instead, we're going to have a player who just always seems to be lighting it up. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Our conversation with Sabrina Ionescu coming at you next. 95.3 The Score.
Chance to get involved. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Ionescu with another rebound. Down the floor, on a break. Over to Chavez. And there you go, the 10th assist and the 20th triple-double for Sabrina Ionescu of her career. Cochran the rebound, 3-2 seconds to Shelley. Has to stop, fire a three. Good! Oh, yes, Shelley with her 7th three-pointer to end the third quarter.
She would end up with 10. As you heard, Sabrina Ionescu with another triple-double. We'll get her on the phone in a minute. Welcome back to Sports Talk 95.3 The Score. It is the Monday edition. By the way, we're not going to be on the air next week. We wouldn't be on Christmas Eve Day and Christmas regardless. So Nick and I were like, vacation days. 1, 2, 3. We're out. Out of the contest. So we got to pack a lot into the entirety of this week, which I think we are capable of doing. So that's where the smart money is going. But right now, folks, let's talk some Oregon hoop. Rare morning start for the Ducks. Take down UC Riverside 84-41. Our next guest and this team have certainly piled up the accolades. Another triple-double today. And as I've said, been watching these games for longer than I care to admit. And I don't know if anybody plays harder or brings more joy to the game. Pleasure to welcome back Sabrina Ionescu. Sabrina, appreciate the time as always. How's life treating you these days?
Thank you. Thanks for having me. But it's good. Obviously done with school now for winter break, so just enjoying playing basketball.
You enjoy playing basketball. I hadn't noticed. kind of an interesting schedule. You won at Long Beach Saturday. Then you play an odd time this morning. I mean, with a start time like that, did you guys have to prepare any differently? Because it certainly seemed like your energy level, all of you, was fine today.
Yeah, I mean, preparation wasn't much different. We got back and then had kind of one day to prepare. Didn't have a walkthrough this morning or shoot around just because of how early the game time was. We just got in at about 8 and had breakfast as a team, and then everyone kind of did their own thing until the game. So that part was just a little bit different just because of the early start time. But other than that, everything was pretty much the same.
You know, the trip to Long Beach was kind of an interesting place to play. I mean, it looked like you guys came out on a mission, big first quarter, and it ends with you splashing that long three right in front of Kobe. What does it mean to you and your teammates that a guy like that, an all-time great, you know, he's come to see you play, but just the way he supports the women's game overall?
I mean, it's awesome. You know, getting to know him through this last year has been amazing, and just the amount of support that he shows to our team, our program, and just women's sports, and obviously women's basketball in general is admirable. And just the fact that he was able to be there with his daughter and some of her teammates just goes to show that, you know, they're kind of looking up to us. And so it's been really a treat to be able to play in front of him, but also, you know, the girls that hopefully, you know, we inspire.
You know, after the Virgin Island trip, I was talking with your coach, and he says, wasn't overly thrilled with the defense, and then what you did against South Dakota, you know, they had just 24 points by halftime, Long Beach 45 points today, you know, you held Riverside to 41. So how are you feeling about the defensive effort, especially over these last three games?
I mean, just trying to get better and continue to learn from, you know, from our mistakes and from our weaknesses, and that's, you know, what we're trying to do collectively. And, you know, offensively, usually we're in rhythm and our shots are falling, and that's obviously one of our strong suits. So just trying to continue to grow on the defensive end and work on, you know, what we need to work on in practice and then have that translate into games.
Talking hoops with Sabrina, certainly your first 3 years as a Duck, you got to share the backcourt with Maite Cazorla. And I know, obviously, you have so much going on. Sabrina, how much were you able to kind of follow her with the Atlanta Dream and just see how cool it was to see her not only drafted but become an everyday player for a WNBA team?
I mean, you know, we all believed in her here, and I certainly believed in her just, you know, playing with her for those 3 years. But, I mean, it was amazing, and, I mean, I couldn't be more proud of her. And obviously, our friendship has carried on. We still talk often, check in on each other. I know we're both busy and on different time zones at the moment, but just being able to stay in contact with her and kind of just watch her grow as a player in person has been awesome. And obviously, learning a lot from her and just how she's able to go about her pro lifestyle.
I got to ask you about Saturday, November 9th with the American Olympic team here. And of course, the names, Diana Taurasi, Sue Bird, fellow conference greats, you know, like Nneka Ogumike, Kelsey Plum, 11,000 fans. And as you know, you became the second college team ever to beat Team USA. I mean, you've been a part of some really amazing games and scenes. How unique was that for you and your teammates?
I mean, definitely one of the biggest wins, I think, you know, I've been a part of and we've been a part of here as a program. I don't think our expectations were super high going in, you know, thinking we're going to beat them, we're going to do this and that. That wasn't really what we were focusing on. We really kind of wanted to just see where we measured with them and obviously try and play our best game of basketball. And then as the game, you know, unfolded and started playing, we weren't really worried about, you know, them being the national team, them supposed to be winning the games that they played on that college tour, but more just about us and trying to be the best that we can be. And obviously it ended up in our favor, but I don't think I would want to play them again.
You know, for those who didn't catch it, I know, you know, Diana Taurasi is obviously in the conversation as the best players ever. And you got to talk with her and she addressed the team. What did she have to say to you guys?
I mean, she talked a lot about just her experience in college and her experience in the pros. Kind of just talked about her mindset and her mentality and just like a piece of advice that she gave us. Obviously, her being at UConn, they were always, you know, supposed to win national championships, go to Final Fours, and be able to produce every night. So she kind of just told us to stay mad, and that's kind of been our slogan this year, to just try and stay mad no matter who you're facing, whether it's, you know, Northwest Christian down the street or if it's Baylor or whoever it is, you know, just focus on your game and try and be the best that you can be.
A few final thoughts for number 20. True freshman, it's interesting to see them find their groove. I was looking at the numbers from Jazz Shelley. You know, I think she had 9 3-pointers her first 7 games, then 5 of 8 at Long Beach, and then today she just goes off. Another overseas player with experience. Well, Sabrina, what about the show she put on today and the kind of player she's going to become?
I mean, today was unbelievable. I mean, the fact that a freshman can come in her first start of her college career and, you know, break the UO single season record with 10 is unmarkable. I mean, that's quite an honor for her and for us to be able to be a part of that. But she puts in the work. I mean, she gets in early, she shoots, she stays late, she shoots, and you know, that stuff ends up, you know, coming to the surface, and you start passing some people that maybe not be putting in the work, you know, on other teams and on even the same team. And so it's awesome to be able to help her grow her game and to continue to to be better. And I mean, it's nice. It's also nice for her. I mean, when you have, you know, Ruthie, Satu, even Erin on the floor, she sometimes gets open and she doesn't, you know, even expect it. And so I think it was nice for her to see her confidence go up today, hitting those shots.
You know, with a true freshman, sometimes they may need a beat or two when they reach this level, but quickly you'll know they fit in, kind of like with you. I've been watching Holly Winterburn, and I know she played at a high level in a British league, but I don't know if it's maturity or confidence. Would I be accurate in saying she just seems to have that it factor for a brand new college player?
For sure. I mean, all the freshmen that have come in that have played internationally so far for us this year have just had this sense of poise and maturity about them. And I don't know if it's that just because they've been playing, you know, their overseas leagues for a while and kind of learned that as they've been playing the game. But, I mean, Holly's just been doing her job really well and continues to get better every day in practice. It's starting to get more comfortable in her role, starting to figure out what she needs to do in order to help us win, and she's doing that great at the moment. She's defending well, she's long, she's getting on the rebounds, and she's our best cutter, and so just having her be able to move without the ball, you know, frees her up, but also it just helps us in our offense, so we're not very stagnant. So she's been coming a long way, and I'm excited to see how much better she's going to continue to get throughout the season.
And one last thought. I know you're probably focused on your next counting game, Kansas State, but when you think about this league, my word, Stanford's number one, you're three, Oregon State four, UCLA 10. As one of the leaders of this team, Sabrina, how emphatic are you going to be, especially with the new faces, that This conference is cutthroat, and there could be no let-up?
It's going to be really fun. It's going to be super challenging and exciting, but, I mean, those are the games that are going to prepare us to win bigger games down the road, and so I think it's going to challenge us and have to, you know, we're going to have to bring our A-game night in and night out, regardless, you know, if it's Stanford, whoever it is we're playing. Those teams are coming to get us, or we're coming to get them, and so I think that's only going to make us better, but also speaks a lot about the league and where it's going and how much it's grown.
Folks, she is Sabrina Ionescu of the Ducks, number three. They play again Saturday, Kansas State. Sabrina, always enjoy having you on to talk about all the great things happening with you and the program. I wish you and yours a healthy, happy Christmas. And, of course, look forward to talking again as we get into Pac-12 play. Thanks a lot, Sabrina. Really appreciate your time.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care. All right. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Think about that as we push it into the 5 o'clock hour, which is next. 95.3 The Score.
But, man, y'all got to coconut up.